Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
Hey, we're starting a new series today, and I'm excited about this. And it's on relationships, and I call it the refresher course we all need. Today, we're talking about love. Next week, we're going to talk about kindness. On Father's Day, we're going to take a little break. And I'm going to preach a message not based upon Donald Trump, but Donald Trump wore a red hat that said, "Make America Great Again." And we're going to talk about make fatherhood great again, because let me tell you right now, it's not the White House that makes America great again. It's fathers who live up to their fatherhood role that makes America great again. And so we're going to have some red hats.
I should have told you. I can't keep a secret. So guys, come.
You're going to have a hat. People look at you like, "Are you Democrat, Republican?" No, I'm a father. How many of you guys want to know father comes before our who we vote for? And so that'll be on Father's Day. And then we're going to talk about sex the week after Father's Day. And all the fathers will want to be here for that. Okay, communication 101. And then conflict 101. Talk about relationships. And here's the reason why we're even doing a series right now. Maybe you're not aware of this. And maybe we have two seasons at our church. We do most of our marriage counseling. Most of our marriage counseling happens in September to the end of October. And then it's kind of quiet with marriage counseling until May. And May, June, and July, those are the next three biggest seasons in our churches, or as in ministry, or even counselors would have for marriage or relationship counseling. And I have a philosophy that if we have dark relationships, the darkness of the winter exasperates it, and then when the light comes out, we give up. And so, in fact, last 35 years in Fairbanks, Alaska, May, June, and July by far are the highest 3 months for divorce over the past 30 years. And so I want to talk about love today. Why? Some of us in here, maybe you're at that place, you're just done, and you want to give up. And I would say, no, hold on. Get help. Do what it takes. Dig in and say, hey, let's work on it. And so we're talking about love. And Vince Lombardi coached the Green Bay Packers, and he was a legendary coach. And he sat down his first fall camp. In fact, they say, historians who studied his life said he did this every year at the beginning of spring camp and fall camp. He sat the guys down and had them in their locker rooms. He came and said, "Guys, this is a pair of socks, and this is how you put them on." And he sat down and put his socks on and pulled the creases out, so when the game, you don't get it wadded up and it irritates you. And then he taught them how to tie their shoes. And then he said, "This is a football." He didn't ask them to spell it. It's a football. He did that because he wanted them to understand at times you have to go back to the basics, no matter how advanced you think you are. So today, this series is a refresher course. It's not probably new information, but how many of you know it's the basics when you forget them that get us in trouble? In fact, Vince Lombardi told his team, "Don't tell me about trick plays and new formations. When the crisis comes in the game, I want to know one thing. Does my team know how to block and how to tackle?" We're talking about love today, and there's no more important biblical topic to talk about than love. Life is all about relationships. In fact, the quality of your life will be determined by the quality of your relationships. happy wife, happy life, right? Happy husband, happy home, okay? The quality of your life, teenagers, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. In other words, who's the pocket of people? How many single adults in here have been at times in dysfunctional relationships only to realize the quality of my life is determined upon the quality of my what? My relationships. So we talk about relationships, and today we're going to look at a theme verse for this entire series in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. How many of you want to know what path to take? You want to be on the right path. You want to go the right way. You want your relationships to work. Now, I love this time of year. I love wedding season. I love doing weddings. I love being a part of weddings. I love the fact that I've only had one wedding personally, okay? Sometimes when we try to define love, it's difficult to define. From the world standards, you can lose that loving feeling. Or what's love got to do with it? What's love got? Okay, I won't go there, okay? Some of you were hoping I was going to. But Jesus said this, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. So love is something that Jesus wants us to do, wants us to be good at. And He says, hey, I don't want you to love people the way the world tells you to love people. I want you to love people the way I want you to love people. And how do you know? If you watch the world's thought of love, it's different than our thought of love. Okay, the world, there's 50 shades of gray, but with God, it's black and white. Okay? And so we talk about love, and we have, in our language, in English, we have one word for love. I can say to my wife when she walks out the door in the morning, I love you, honey. And she can say, I love you back. I can also say, I really love coffee. And I do. What a great segue to get my coffee up here with me, wasn't it? I love coffee. How many of you guys love hamburgers? How many of you guys love football? How many of you guys like college soccer or college baseball right now? How many of you guys are rooting for Oregon State? 51-4, number one in America. Sorry, okay. I love. Now, I love each of my kids differently, and I love ice cream and my kids, and I've loved ice cream longer than my kids, but the love I have for my kids is not the same love I have for ice cream. In case you're wondering, I love my kids more than ice cream. It's different. We use love and throw love out there in lots of ways, and I remember, and young people or single adults, this might help you, I vowed never to tell Heidi I loved her till I knew she was the woman I was going to marry. Because we throw love out there all the different ways, but love is an important word. And in the Greek language, there's four words for love. And if I had more time, I'd try to pull songs from the world to sing about, but I won't go there today. But the first Greek word we have for love is philia. And it's where we get our word Philadelphia from. Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love. It's this heartfelt affection, brotherly love. We see this love in the New Testament 13 times. It's kind of like the love that's sang in that song on Toy Story. You got a friend in me. Anyone know that song?
Last night I went to bed hearing, "You've got a friend in me." I think, oh, they're singing. No, it's my boy was watching Toy Story. Philia, it's Philadelphia love. And sometimes we can tell our brother or our friends, "Hey, I love you, bro." And if I tell Eric, "I love you, bro," it's not the same as the love I tell my wife. Thank you, Jesus, it's not that same love. Right, Eric? Okay. Another Greek word for love is the word storge. Say storge. Storge is the familiar affection. It's the love that's connected by blood. You love someone because they're in your family. It's the love a mom has for her newborn son or daughter. Okay, it's that type of love. It's family love. And how many of you know we tell our daughters all the time, you know, there'll come a day you'll love your sister. You ever had to tell your kids that? You know, there's days we wonder if they love each other. Anyone here ever? Okay, I'm just counseling session for me. It's that old song, "We are family." Okay, never mind. Brothers and sisters. Okay, never mind. All right. Third kind of love as I move on. And I'm not going to sing a song for this one. Third type of love is eros. That's the erotic love. And that's where a lot of America they're in love with an object or a body, but there's no commitment there. Some of you are tired of L-O-V-E being spelled U-S-E-D. And erotic love is when you use something. There's not a commitment there. There's not a depth there. It's pretty shallow love. In fact, teenage girls, let me tell you something. The harder you play to get, the better man you'll get. Guys look after what they cannot get and disrespect what easily comes to them. And so if it's erotic, we got to go on. We got too much other stuff to talk about here. It's not a dating lesson here. The last type of love is agape love. And agape love is the highest level of love. It's the unconditional, godlike, selfless love. It's the love that gives everything. For God so loved the world, agape'd the world, that he gave his only son. It's selfless love. This is the kind of love the Bible talks about. This is the kind of love talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians or the New Testament that says love is what? Patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, or proud, or rude. Say rude. Love's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of wrong, record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. This agape love endures through every circumstance. How many of you are glad that God's love for us endures through every circumstance? It keeps no record of wrong. So today in this refresher course, let's look at four things. Four truths concerning love. Number one, love is a choice. This is against popular thought and cultural thought. How many of you guys have ever heard, "I just fell out of love"? You don't fall out of love. You fall out of trees. You fall in pits. You fall over the edge. You don't fall in love. Love is a choice. There are days that I wake up and I don't feel married. But I am. There's days my wife wakes up and goes, I don't like the fact I'm married to him. No. She might think that sometimes. I think we both, hey, have you ever woke up and thought, what am I doing? Or what did I do? Ralph Seekins loves grabbing the young couples that get engaged. And Ralph's not here. He's traveling a lot right now. But Ralph will catch a young engaged couple and goes, oh, you're getting married? I did that once too, and I learned my lesson. I'm not doing that again. He says, one day I made a choice, and I said, I do. And ever since then, Connie's been saying, oh, no, you don't. Love is a choice. You can fall in a hole, fall in a prank, fall in a pit, but you choose to love, friends. It is a choice every day to get up and say, I choose to love the person I'm married to. If you're single, good news. You don't have to wait to fall in love. You can choose to love. You can choose to look past the wrongs. You can choose not to be rude. You can choose to be kind. In fact, I love what Paul says. It's not about feelings, friends. Love is a careful and deliberate journey with another person. And I love the scripture. Love is patient and kind. How many of you know it's a choice to be patient? And how many know for some of you, you wait longer than others of us in here? Love is patient. I remember the Snoopy cartoon once that this girlfriend was late for the date, and Snoopy goes, I read all of Revelation and Leviticus waiting for you. And how many of you guys have ever read Revelation and Leviticus and felt like it took forever? He didn't say that, but love is patient and it's kind. Kindness is a choice. In fact, I've been around long enough to see that sometimes, and I throw myself in this, sometimes I'm kinder to strangers than those around me closest to me. Love's a choice. Let's choose to be kind. Choose to be patient. Choose not to be jealous. Choose not to be proud or rude. I say this at every wedding. I look at that couple that got all dressed up and I say, you know, today you're making a choice, but from now on this choice makes you. In other words, there's a love choice here. And God wrote 1 Corinthians so we wouldn't be, we wouldn't have to go along with the fads and the whims and the media of today. We could choose love, which is patient and kind. It's a choice to wake up. The question is not, do you feel love for the person right now? The reality is you have to choose to show love right now to the person. Choose. Well, I don't feel like it. It's not based upon feelings. It's based upon a choice. Choice to act. Patient and kind. The sad thing is sometimes we forget to choose love. And we go off our feelings and emotions. And how many of us have felt like saying something that we should not have said? And it ends up being rude or ends up being whatever because we choose to be rude over choosing to love. The second thing that love is, the second truth that love is a compromise. How many of you know it's a compromise? I love what verse 5 says. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being what? Wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love is a compromise. Love does not demand its way. Now, sometimes we think compromise is 50-50, but sometimes compromise is 100-0. How many know there's some things that aren't worth fighting about? I found a long time ago that if my wife wants something a certain color, she just get it a certain way. Because number one, I'm colorblind. She doesn't want to trust my color judgment anyway. But number two,
She's a much better decorator than I am, and I really don't care the color of the couch. I just want to make sure it's soft. And sometimes, we don't have to demand our way. Sometimes we have to just let go and just give a little, learn to compromise, learn to look what's best for the other person. Agape love says, hey, I'm committed to you, and I don't always have to win. Let me, if you're here and you're a single adult, and maybe you're looking for the person to marry, and the person you're dating always has to win, lose them. You win, lose them. If they always have to win, if they always have to be right, it's the mother whale said to the baby whale, swallow your pride, it's not fattening. Let the other one win. Sometimes it's okay to give up all of our rights if giving up our rights is for the sake of love. When I said I do to my wife, it meant, Heidi, I prefer you. Heidi, I'll compromise. Now, there are certain things that, in fact, I was with someone the other day, they said, Mark, I've been married for 2.5 months, and I didn't realize how selfish I was. Anyone ever felt that way? Where all of a sudden marriage just exposed the parts of us that wanted our way and the selfish parts of us. And maybe you're there now. Sometimes you don't have to win. Sometimes love says, I don't need to man my way. It's our way. It's our way. I've always told my daughters, if you find a young man who pressures you and says, hey, everybody else is doing it, look him in the eye and say, well, it won't be hard for you to find someone else. See you later. Don't demand. You don't have to be with someone if you're single who demands things a certain way. They deserve to treat you with respect. I remember once, I date my daughters. I take them on dates, and one thing I always teach my daughters is that the young man, if it's a date and he has my permission to take you out, he needs to pay, unless I tell you to pay, to make sure he doesn't know it's serious. And I'll tell her, honey, girls, you have to let the gentleman open the door for you so you can get in, and he can shut the door, and then you sit in the car until he opens the door for you. Now, I said, it might be really embarrassing the first couple times that they leave the house and they open up their door, get in and sit there, and you stand outside. But if they're inside and they go like this, go. So I did this one time. I forgot my wallet, but I knew my daughter had $20 in her pocket. I said, honey, I forgot my wallet. She says, well, you'll have to take me home if you can't afford the date. So we had two cars. We had a youth event in Vegas, some youth leaders over, and I'd pick my daughter up, and she's in the back seat of the car, and I drive home. It's 100 degrees outside, and we have our party, and a half hour goes by, and I think, where is my daughter at? She was sitting in the back seat of the car at 100 degrees because daddy hadn't opened the door for her. And I thought, okay, she's well trained. Love. You understand, gals, single adults, you don't have to compromise on qualities you want in a future spouse. When you're married, that's where the compromise comes in, over decisions and working together. But don't you dare think love compromises when it comes to values and standards if you're single. Love is a choice. Love is a compromise. And thirdly, love is unconditional. It's agape love. Love isn't subject to circumstances. I love you despite the circumstances. I want to read a verse. It's not in your notes today, but it's one of my favorite verses to wrap my mind around. But before I read the verse, I love what it says. It says love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love what? Love endures. It says this. It says It always is hopeful and endures every circumstance. Say endure. There's several words for endure in the New Testament, but my favorite word, the rarest word for endure in the New Testament, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where in verse 3 it says, "Therefore you must endure hardship as a good soldier. No one is engaged in warfare entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please the enlisted as a soldier. And also anyone who competes as an athlete, he is only crowned when he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, the Lord will give you insight." But the word, "therefore you must endure hardship." That word endure, in the Greek language, it means to have a long mind. Now let me break that down for a second. A mind that's longer. And then Paul has three metaphors. He says, if you're a soldier, you don't go into war and think about civilian affairs. Your mind is as long as the battle. He said, hey, if you're an athlete and you go compete, you compete according to the rules. Why? Your mind is as long as the race, as long as the event. And if you're the farmer and you plant crops, your mind needs to be as long as when you plant that you see the harvest. See, some of you in here, you've hit rocky or difficult times in your marriage, or difficult times at work, or difficult times in relationships. Your mind needs to be longer than the battle if you're in a marriage right now that feels like war. Your mind needs to be longer than the race you're in. Your mind needs to realize, yes, you've planted, and some of you, you've made new commitments to Christ, and you're starting to grow, and yet things are tough over here. You plant in one season, you reap in another, but don't give up. Have a mind longer than it takes to see the harvest. Love is unconditional. It says, listen, I'm in it for the long haul. I have four teenagers, or three teenagers. Well, yeah, three this next week. Wow, pray for me. I'm actually excited about that. And I anticipate there's going to be some challenges. But my unconditional love for them has to look past the challenges. It has to be long. Love endures. Well, there will be challenging times in Heidi and I, our marriage, over the next 15, 20 years if the Lord tarries. Probably, but my mind or our minds have to be longer than the battle, longer than the race, longer than the time to see the harvest. Friends, some of you, I just want to challenge some of you that feel like giving up right now. Say, God, let me recalibrate my endurance and have a mind longer than the battle right now. Someone that says, I can't take anymore. No, listen, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. It might look like a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. It's him. He's walking with you. Love is a choice. Love is a compromise, and love is unconditional. And lastly, love is demonstrated by Jesus Christ. Jesus shows love through all the scriptures. He loved Judas. He loved the man with a withered hand. He said, stretch it out. He loved the blind man. He loved the woman caught in the act of adultery. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son. The culmination of love was the cross. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, it says in 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because he gave up his love for us. There's a principle called experiential love, and it's this: you can't love until you've been loved, and you can only love according to how much you've been loved. Let me say that again. You can't love until you've been loved, and you can only love according to how much you've been loved. That's why some teenagers I worked with, or ladies I've worked with who've had or even young men who've had a broken relationship with their earthly father, they have a hard time understanding unconditional love, or that their good is good enough because their good wasn't good enough on the earthly level. If you're here and you have a hard time expressing love, the first thing you have to do is understand you can be loved. For God so loved the world that he gave. If you're here today, God wants you to experience his love, because only from his love do you know how to love. His love was sacrificial. He chose you before you chose him. He loved you before you ever loved him. That's his love. It's a choice. Love is a compromise. There's times you don't have to always win. Unless a grain of wheat first falls to the ground and dies, it'll never produce a harvest. There's times you have to let go, and you have to allow and defer to the other person. Love is unconditional. Maybe you're here today and you've struggled because the earthly love you have received has never been unconditional. God wants to fill your love bank today. Or maybe you're here, you're struggling in marriage, and you go, oh God, I don't know. Love endures. It's long in the battle. Sign up for some counseling. Call the office. If the need you have is beyond what pastoral care can provide, we'll connect you with godly counselors who help you get through your problems. Love never gives up. Love never fails. Let's change the divorce rates in Fairbanks, Alaska. We can. We can. It's our choice. Choose to grow. Choose to say yes. Choose to love. Amen. Would you stand with me today as we close? And let's sing this song together. But maybe today, as we sing this song, maybe you're here and you're struggling in relationships and you need God to do some miracles. While we sing this song, would you come and find a place at this altar? We'll come around and pray with you if you'd like us to, but we'd love to pray with you if you want special prayer this morning at this altar as we sing this song. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to say, Lord, take it all. Take every part of us. Lord, today, we recommit to understand what true love is. It's unconditional. It's a choice. It's a compromise. But Lord, ultimately, you showed us agape love, selfless love. Lord, we're thankful for those that today make commitments to you during communion. God, I pray as we go our separate ways this week, we'll strengthen the love base in our lives. Strengthen marriages. Strengthen purity. Strengthen every part of those that are single today. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, again, we look forward to seeing you next week. Please, if you're not in a life group, sign up before they're full. We'd hate for you to feel like you didn't get a choice in what you wanted to do. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great day.